Thank you for listening to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please support the show by subscribing to and leaving a 5-star rating for the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and any of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also support the show by going to our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, where there's always exciting articles by the BNG writing staff. While you're there, don't forget to click on the fanatics.com banner for a great sports fan shopping experience.
Are you done yet? We gotta start the show.
Bobby Orr, behind the net, the center, and Orr! Bobby Orr scores in the Boston Bruins!
30 seconds left in the period. The Bruins are shorthanded. Ray Bourque.
From the face-off circle to the right of Reggie Lindman, flying it down, and Whitmore blew it.
Did he ever?
Marshall to Bergeron on the drive, save, rebound is loose. Sagan kicks him loose. Bergeron scores.
Hey, Bruins fans, welcome back to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. This is episode 217, and we're recording on February 21st, 2021. And this show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag and use code CLNS50 to get a sweet 50% welcome bonus and get your wager on, which I've been doing poorly at lately, but we won't not talking about wagering on hockey games and my losses. We do have a pretty decent agenda to talk about. Lots of topics going on in the Bruins organization. But before we do that, I'd love to welcome my co-host, Heather Ingerson, back to the program for another week of Bruins Hockey Talk. Heather, what's up?
Nothing. What's up? Here we are. Boys didn't play a lot this week, but we're here anyways, as always.
Yes.
Ready for some Bruins talk.
Yes.
How was your week? Good?
It was all right. Vacation, trying to get caught up on some stuff on the B&G company, but it seems like I'm walking in quicksand most of the time, but we're just trucking along here and trying to get as much Bruins content out as humanly possible. But you know me, I love a challenge, even though I get frustrated a lot. I do love a challenge. But before we do talk about the Bruins and everything that's coming up, I do want to mention show sponsor betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the National Hockey League are in full swing. Betonline.ag even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action, and don't forget to use promo code CLNS50. That's CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. Let's get into some Boston Bruins hockey talk.
I was going to say, first, I just thought we could take a minute and say thank you to Trent Buehler, who put us inside his awesome artwork. We're now hanging up in the whole garden.
Yes.
Over the ice, checking out the action. And I just want to say thank you, Trent. And it truly is an honor. Like, I'm not even joking when I say it's an honor. It's such a cool thing. And, like, even to be considered. And Lou's just like, welcome to the club. Here we are, hanging out. We're going to fill it.
It's so awesome. And for the YouTube viewers, I will be putting some pictures up here of what we are on it about. Trent Buehler came on late in 2020 and joined us for an episode to talk about his project that he worked on. And it is a table hockey game that he made into a shrine of the old original Boston Garden. And I asked him, I just said, hey, it's like, you know, if you, the luchador, he got a 3D image printed of himself with a mask and everything. And it was really cool. Even got the meth bear on the front. But I asked, I was like, hey, Trent, if you do have some time, what do you think about adding Heather and I to the press box? And sure enough, I get a Facebook message from Trent, and he lives in Edmonton, and he's a diehard Bruins fan. So shout out to Trent. But sent me the images, and I was blown away. He actually has this jersey, like, in the image, and you've got, I think, a regular Bruins jersey, which is pretty cool. But I got the gray beard and everything. It was pretty freaking awesome. But like I said, I'll post the pictures right here. But just want to really seriously thank Trent for that, because it's just awesome to be in the game that he built, but also like in memories of Fred Cusick and Derek Sanderson and Johnny Pearson and so on, and the whole media team from like back in the day of WSBK TV 38 when I was a kid. And so it really just put a smile on my face to see that we both made it to the media level of a Boston Garden.
Yeah, that's what it just made. It really makes me feel like a kid. I know that sounds stupid. I'm supposed to be a grown up, but like, that's what all I can think is WSBK TV 30. It's like, I don't know. So thank you. And if you guys have not seen the work, I don't know what you're doing. You need to follow Old Time Table Hockey at Trent Buehler, Buehler. In case you're used to like the movie, it's not spelled that way. And thank you, Trent. It's truly, it is a piece of art. Like, I know it's a game in whatever, but just the detail, and we know the love that he puts in it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
He talked about that when we were lucky enough to have him on, but I certainly think it's an honor. And I just thought we should start off today saying thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Okay, well then to something that wasn't the happiest thing, but we had one game this week on it did go off. We were supposed to play Jersey on Monday as well, I think, or Tuesday, I can't remember, but it got moved obviously because of all the COVID protocols going on. But we did play Thursday, and we could recap this game. We definitely lost 3-2, tried to have another heroic third halfway through the third comeback, which is a bad way to do it, I think. But we looked like yuck. I just, too much time in our own end. There's nothing, like, that's fine if you're Washington. So if you're going to put 13 shots on, you get 9 of them in, but that's not how we play. And I don't like it. Yuck. It Islanders was respectable loss. You know what I mean? It's tough. And for some reason we have a hard time with them, especially on the island, but Jersey outplayed us like that. Very few points did it look like we were controlling that game. Mark, you go before I start ranting. I'm not going to rant.
Yeah, it was a very piss poor effort, in my opinion, and to a team that's lower in the rankings of this new realigned division for the COVID pandemic and so on. I wasn't impressed at all. I mean, it goes from the whole team. I thought Jaro Halak looked terrible. I don't think he's looked very good at all this season. He does have a shutout. He does have times that he shines. But there's like weird shots that he can see and he tracks. I'm not a professional goaltender or a professional teacher of goaltending at all. But when you look at video and you see him and he's tracking the puck to his glove and it's going over or under the glove, there's a problem. I don't know what's going on with Jaro. And there wasn't like, if there was traffic and he couldn't see it, I could see him dropping down and just putting the glove up for safety's sake, you know? But I just, it's weird. He's been getting those shots a lot. And this is not just this year. It's been in past years that he's been with the team that those easy ones are the ones that are certainly hard to really get a handle to. So hopefully he can get back on track with that. I'm not shitting on him. I'm really not trying to be a jerk and calling him out. There's things that I noticed that he's just not doing very well. So, and then work out from the defense. The defense was absolutely horseshit. I think this was the worst defensive game I've seen this season from this young crew. And we've had some pretty bad games, but not this bad. Transition out, turnovers from John Moore. The the time, like when they got the puck, they almost looked like they were so nervous. They didn't know what to do with it. Desperation times created freaking really bad freaking desperation turnovers. And New Jersey, you're absolutely right. New Jersey absolutely brought it to them this game. And I was kind of disappointed because it just reminds me of the Bruins of the past, that they tend to play down to their opponents, and they certainly did that in this game. And we're going to see these teams more and more often, so they got to figure it out. And obviously that starts with a game this evening. We'll talk about that later. But overall, even the forwards, I just didn't think that they were on. They were really going too wide and not getting up the middle enough. It was just a real tough game to watch, and I know we're going to have these stinkers, but there's every point is valuable, and you look at the standings, and it's amazing to see who's on pretty much on top right now is a team that I would never think that would be there. So,
well, I think the last time we played Jersey, they learned they can handle the Bruins, and I agree with you. This is we've had sloppy games or whatever. We have game, you know, but Jersey came to play, and we looked like, I think that we talk about this all the time. It's like, so Halak's struggling a little, but his defense is not helping him out. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yes, he owns what he owns, but just generally speaking, like, there was a lot of pressure on Halak for like a lot of minutes in that game. Not to be like a lot, but really, I'm like, get out. I think I even tweeted something like, Mama Bear hates that, because the more you're in, not in their end, the more they're likely to win this game on you, because I don't know. I don't like that two of the two goals are both power play goals again. Still struggling on that. A lot of roughing, but not like in the physical way that's changing the game way, more in just the frustrated way. And I think it's always like a spiral. It's like defense is kind of messy. And it was certainly like, for the people who want to say, oh, well, that's what happens when you put John Moore in. This was not on John Moore necessarily. Yeah, he had turnover, but you're right. On the back end, it was a mess. We couldn't get out of our own way, but I was surprised at how defensively just crap. I mean, we've been a little sloppy in our transitions and stuff over this year, but this was like amateur hour. Oh, Jersey made it look like amateur hour. Do you know what I mean? I don't know why that is, because they are certainly not the most intimidating people that we played. We can play them. We played them not long ago and you guys didn't do that. So figure that out. I would enjoy that. That being said, what about, this was the game where the Cassidy line mixer came out. Like I'm not sure. I know there's a reason. And again, I'm not trying to, Bruce Cassidy is smarter than me and he has his job for a reason. And I do this podcast as a fan for a reason, but it seems to me when things start going a little south, we always bring out the line mixer and just start bouncing people around. I don't want to say for no rhyme or reason, because I would like to hope that Cassidy is doing it with some kind of reason. But yeah. What do you think about the blender lines? Do you think it was helpful, or do you think it didn't really matter just within the game, or do you think it hurt them, like it was made it worse?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, Heather, to be honest. And when the line mixes happen, it's because Cassie wants to create secondary scoring and try to do that. Obviously that didn't happen in this game. He's probably going to flirt with this idea a lot more often in a condensed 56 game season. I'm not going to call it that line. I hate that name now. It's absolutely ridiculous. Do not call the perfection line the perfection line anymore, because they're not perfect. They have weaknesses. And to break up that line, it's a little rough to think about. But I do understand the meaning. And having Krejci out and so on, it just creates opportunities for other people. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of his line mixing. But, again, he's got to flirt with something, because you have to find consistency somewhere. And if you don't change your lines once in a while, you're never going to know what you actually have. It's kind of pretty bad wording to say, but I'm not a fan of him moving anything around. I don't know. I'm kind of dumbfounded on that whole thing.
I think that I agree with you that you have to shake it up a little bit sometimes. But I feel like that's what happens when you've played a little bit of bad hockey with whatever's happened, you know, like your traditional lineup or how you field it. I don't feel it's necessary after one loss to the Islanders or whatever. And yeah, we've struggled at times, but we've been winning. And, you know, I think you have to have a good balance of when to pull it out or when to just kind of let it struggle for a game or two and let it work itself out. Because I think sometimes you can risk not, people are nervous to build chemistry because like people are saying that a little bit about Charlie Coyle. Is he struggling a little because he keeps having a rotator? I mean, I didn't put that on here. We can certainly discuss that kind of generally, but it just makes me nervous when that happens. Now who knows what the lineup's really going to look like tonight because we've had some things happen. But one good thing that happened though is Jake DeBrusk scored his first goal, got that off his back. That's really kind of my question. Jake has, I think, looked good his couple games back. He looks, the rest was good for him. I think he understands he needs a spot. It kind of annoys me again that, and I understand it's partly out of necessity that now after all this time making him play the left wing, now he's got to be the right winger. Like I don't, certain players I think that maybe are still coming up on their spot should be the ones that have to adapt more than he does as you have trained him to be on your left side specifically. Or at least that's the direction you've really used him. But do you think that that's going to be good for Jake? Do you think it'll help him relax a little? Because I feel like he is the kind of player, he wants to get that goal so bad to help his team, but it sometimes just stops him in his own head, like McAvoy a little bit sometimes.
You could definitely see that he's so intense and he wants to get that monkey off of his back. You can see it on the bench when they mic'd him up for the Behind the Bee episode recently that I think was dropped either this week or something. But he's just like, I want to celebrate. Our line is celebrating tonight. And it's just, you can see the passion. You can see that he's fully involved in trying to be better and wherever he plays. Because he's kind of that journeyman up and down the lineup, the top three lines lately. And that's probably because of Bruce wanting to create some kind of creativity with him and new line mates to get him going. So, but it's good to see him finally get the monkey off the back. And I hope it continues. It starts a fire under his ass because this is a big year. I still continue, and I know I've said this in the past, that this is still a big year for Jake DeBrusk as an evaluation. He signed a two-year bridge deal, and if I believe that if this year does not work out for him and expectations aren't met from coaching staff and management, that there's an opportunity that you could move a player like this to address another need for the fact that he's got one more year of negotiation that can be done with another NHL franchise, the one that the Bruins might be trading with. But on the other hand, I'm a fence guy, you guys know that. On the other hand, if he does really good, then you want to keep him involved. But tread lightly on this one because this I'm not saying that they're going to suck anytime soon, hopefully not tonight or anytime soon, but you know, if things don't get turned around like the way the season started, I mean, it didn't start off on the great foot, but it took only a couple games to them get back involved into a run that led him to the top of the Atlantic Division. But if they start to slide, this could be a time for Sweeney to really address a certain need. And I think the panic button is hovering over right now. Not crazy, but something could happen. And if something happens and he is young enough that would attract another team, and obviously that extra year of negotiation on another team could possibly have a better turnout for his NHL success. But I'm still a Jake DeBrusk fan. I want him in the lineup, but I want him to see to be doing much better. But I also know that he can be a leverage piece in any trade deal.
Yeah, I think DeBrusk, even when he struggles, is a valuable piece of this team. So I agree with that one way or another, whether it's to increase his own trade value. I just don't want DeBrusk to, if he gets traded, it can't be for nothing. Like, he is a major bargaining chip that you have because he is still young and he has shown moments of, you know, what he can be. I think Jake's biggest issue is his consistency. It's not what he can do. It's him doing it consistently. But he's still young. You know, 27-year-old Jake DeBrusk could look totally different than 24-year-old Jake DeBrusk with a little bit more time. And
I think it's funny he calls himself Slim. Did you see that? It's like, come on, Slim. Focus, focus.
Me up. He's like your friend's fun little brother that's just like kind of a goober, but you know, like in on the joke, but is also like, you know what I mean? Yep. I just like him. I didn't mean to say it that way, but you do know what I mean on that front. That being said, I think Cassidy summed it up in a few of his quotes of kind of how I felt about this game before we talk about David Krejci going out 6 minutes in or whatever. We tend to overpass a little bit. Yeah, you think, coach? And he said something else, something like, we weren't willing to do what you had to go and get the puck. So I ask you, are we starting to see... Oh, by the way, Jake DeBrusk was a beauty of an unassisted goal. I just props to Jake for the first one being a, you know, highlight reel type one. But do you think the Bruins are falling back into some old habits, the overpassing, as much as we want to pretend? Because, I mean, you know, Richie and some people have had some points that we didn't expect to help with the secondary scoring problems that we've had. But I feel like maybe we're falling a little bit too much back on that power play, which the same people are key on, but still isn't solving our 5-on-5 or secondary scoring. Do you see the old habits starting to come back, and can they be broken?
I do. I bring it back to you're playing down to a certain team's level. And as I look right now, on you know, league-wide, the New Jersey Devils are 26th in the league, and the Boston Bruins are currently 5th. That's a league outlook. So I'd expect that team to be the Bruins to be a lot better than they did in this game. But I also was very concerned with Cassidy's comments in his press conference after. So this is the tweet that I got from Joe Haggerty that I was not completely thrilled about. Bruce Cassidy: I just thought that they were winning the races and winning the one-on-one puck battles. I kind of disagree on that. But you'd think after 4 or 5 days of not playing, we'd be the hungrier team. So we'll address that. That's exactly what I'm talking about when you're trying to consider a 60-minute effort and try to beat a team like the New Jersey Devils, who were obviously a little lower in the standings than the Boston Bruins. So that kind of frustrated me a little bit right there.
Yes, ultimately it is on the players. But like I used to say with Coach Claude, he can't go out and skate for them, though. Like, they're professionals, and they have to do their job. But I also think that we've got a lot of injury going on. We've got the line mixer out and a lot of other factors that probably did not help the poor effort that happened. They can be hungrier, but it also is probably hard to get up for these games. So yeah, you'll address that, but are you going to address it in figuring out how to get the motivation going? Because there might be long stretches of downtime in the COVID world and the COVID season. We've been very lucky. And actually, the East, besides Jersey, has been in Buffalo, have been pretty lucky on the whole COVID thing. Let's hope Philly and Boston can get to California and back and not bring transcontinental variants or whatever back with them. But I think that also goes to you. Like, as a coach, you're frustrated, but again, it's not about running the perfect drills. That's great, you know, if you can run the perfect drills in practice. And I know that they're hard on them, but also sometimes you play a bad game. You know what I mean? And maybe they don't, I just mean, you know, when you played like shit. Like, I know when I used to dance or play soccer, like, if I wasn't playing well, I knew I wasn't playing well. If we walked off the stage at competition, we knew how well it went by how it felt it went. And maybe let Bergeron work it out.
It comes down to execution. That's it. Basically, you do all the training, all the practicing you want, but getting it done in game time is when you need to do it.
Too much drills, maybe, and not enough scrimmage kind of situation.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just hard because it's not like they can, you know, in other times you might practice against BU or BC, you know, or something fun that's beneficial for the younger guys to hang, you know, but you can't even do things like that anymore. You know, they can't even hang out together. I just hope they figure it out. And I mean, I'm certainly not a panic button person. I know Sweeney and Neely have to start thinking about it before trade deadline in April, because their jobs might potentially be on the line if we don't finish strong. Like, no, I don't think as constructed we're winning a cup, but there is no reason, again, we shouldn't dominate, you know, the situation. That being said, I know David Krejci hasn't scored a goal yet, but he does still have 10 assists this season, and now he's got a lower body injury. I love the NBA. I prefer when you just tell me he broke his femur. Every other sport does it. Why can hockey not? Anyways, he has a lower body injury. There was no update before they went. We do know that him and Miller did not travel to Tahoe. We'll talk about Tahoe in a few. So just before we get to the first half hour midpoint here, this is a problem, I think, a major problem, because if he's not back, say, in the next week, we could, if we continue to play like this, come to a stumbling point where we're dropping a bunch of points that, unlike in an 82-game season, you can pick back up somewhere else. There won't be those to pick back up. So besides concern for Krejci, does this make you nervous a little bit, especially we're having trouble already filling key injury moveabouts?
A little bit. David Krejci is a very valued member of this Boston Bruins organization. I don't care what many say. He doesn't get the goals, and he doesn't, you know, he makes so much money that he's not producing, blah, blah, blah. He's producing. He's doing what he can. But taking him out of the lineup is just, it's bringing on the next man up mentality. And obviously, Coyle is filling that spot right now. And I think he's done okay. We'll talk about him later on. I just want to see how this team responds to an injury or somebody being out like David Krejci and these plug and plays that are coming in from the taxi squad and so on, and how they come in and make an impact to the game. But if it goes more than a week more than 2 weeks, this could be a definite concern. And a panic pusher to address a certain need, but we'll see. I mean, we got to go day by day right now with the information that we're getting on the injury. And I know it's so cliche to say upper body, lower body, but I think that protects the player also, because if he comes back at 80% and can still play and be somewhat effective, another player can't take liberties on a lower body or like attack a knee or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to, if you don't mind, take a pause right now and talk about Blue Chew that we love so much here. We love hockey. Our listeners love hockey. We also know that people love sex. They love great sex. And when they get the opportunity, they want it to be the best that it can, right? But sometimes, maybe, gentlemen, maybe you're in bed and in your head you're going for the overtime goal. You're buzzing like the cup's on the line, but you don't even get a shot off. You get the game loser, but that's okay. You can fix this. Let me tell you about Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take it anytime, day or night, even on an empty stomach, so you're ready whenever the opportunity arises. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, and you don't have to go to the doctors or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they ship it to you in discreet packaging, so there's no awkwardness, and you don't even have to leave the house. Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your confidence in bed where it counts. And Black and Gold listeners, if you go to bluechew.com, that's blue like the color, and put in the promo code Black and Gold, all three words, all caps, you will get your order for free. You just pay $5 for shipping and handling. That's right. So go to bluechew.com, put in Black and Gold, all caps, and you will get the shipment in for free. All you got to do is pay $5 for shipping and handling. So the next time that you're going for the game winner in bed, maybe you can hit the netting so hard you properly pop the Gatorade bottle up off the top. Thank you. Let's get back to the hockey, Mark.
Yes.
Yes.
If anybody needs some Blue Chew, it's the Boston Bruins right now.
Yes. I would appreciate it.
They need to finish. Blue Chew.
Yeah, that's true. They are having a hard time finishing a lot. Concerns me. I don't like that. I like boys who can finish, boys. All right. So in all seriousness, back to the hockey. So Lake Tahoe turns out to look beautiful. I mean, we can talk about the issues with it. But the scene with the rink and they got snow and the backdrop, and it's just like, Oh my, it's beautiful. It really is. Not as beautiful as like the Stanley Cup, but like her ugly stepsister thing. How do you like it?
I enjoyed the first period. It was challenging. Let's put it that way. They are playing, I believe Lake Tahoe is technically located even above Denver, Colorado, which is the Mile High City, correct?
Yes.
So you're closer to the sun, and it happens. I mean, this, but the backlash of people, and I'm not going to mention names or anything like that, but people were like all excited about it. And then all of a sudden the ice conditions happened and then they hated it. They just flipped on everything. How could the league do this? This is such a joke. This is embarrassing. This issue of ice and sunlight has only happened one time in 30 outdoor games. Come on, folks. Let's not toss this into the barrel, this idea into the barrel, just because of a minor problem, you know? And hopefully that minor problem doesn't go into tonight's game. We'll talk about that. But I liked the scenery. You're right next to the lake. There were people out there in boats. It was funny that so many people were believing that they could play the game on the lake itself. I was just like, I don't even think that freezes.
I think it looked really awesome, but I can understand how it is that no one accounted for putting a hockey rink in the mountains in the winter, because I mean, we're New Englanders. When you drive, there's snow glare, there's things like that, you know. I think Darren Dreger put out something like, that's why I don't paint lines in my backyard rink. Okay, like I'm sure it was like a joke, but at the same time, okay, that's haha, but this is the NHL, they can't not have face-offs and stuff, you know. Yeah. But I think I can see that little bit of frustration, like no one considered what would happen with all the snow glare and everything. Tuukka, I had seen a quote that he had texted the other goalies and they said it's not, which I can imagine, it's just white, solid white, probably from the goalie's perspective. But you couldn't get much closer to the lake than that if you were going to play at the lake.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure how much of the lake you could actually see. I figured you'd see the mountains and stuff and still be pretty, but it looks very beautiful. That being said, I am pissed off that the Bruins game is now on at 7 p.m. tonight on NBCSN instead of on regular NBC, therefore doing exactly what we always talk about. And I understand the mothership probably was like, we're not pushing whatever repeat we're playing, which seems stupid. You'd think you'd want fresh content. Americans love sports, you know, and right now we're in between football and baseball season, so all you have is hockey and basketball. Really, I mean, you know, soccer starting up and stuff, but still. That annoys me, because now if you don't have it, let's face it, if you have NHL TV, that means you're going to get blocked out from the game, blackout or whatever, probably, most likely. They may not do that only because of the circumstance of the game was supposed to be on. But now you're looking at whole fan bases, because again, people have cut cords, people stream this way and that way. I'm annoyed. Because A, it doesn't look as cool at night. I understand why they have to do that, because the ice conditions and just generally the sun is too much. But I do think maybe when we plan the outdoor games, we do have to consider the setting that we're putting it in. That like if we put it outside by an actual lake in nature, as opposed to in Notre Dame Stadium, the different dynamics of how to keep it cool and whatever. But that's beautiful. I'm annoyed. Do you think it's a big deal, though, that the Philly and Boston aren't going to get to practice on the ice?
That was because of the conditions before. They had snow that night, and they canceled the practice. But practice did go at a local rink that day. So they did get to stretch their legs, get some training in to prepare themselves for the game tonight. But I do understand where you're coming from, Heather. And, you know, ice that's covered is different from ice that's out in nature. So practicing on that could have been, if they could do it, would have been the way to go, because you learn where your ice weaknesses are and so on. I mean, hopefully it's not that bad. That was bad. I mean, when you see a referee just gliding along doing like 1 mile an hour and trips toe picks, or a player, That was bad. And I could see the fans' frustration with that too, but I just don't want to toss the whole outdoor game idea because of one time out of 30 that it might have failed a little bit. So, yeah.
You're definitely going to have different ice outside. Everybody knows that. You're at the mercy of Mother Nature. I do think, like, maybe the sun factor wasn't quite. They probably just hoped they'd get a cloudy day. It's winter. You know what I mean? It should be overcast, some clouds up in there. And then it was a nice, clear, beautiful day. But I don't think we should throw out outdoor rings. I do agree with the narrative that maybe we have overdone. Like, they're not as special or as they were, because they started with, like, we did it one time and now we had two different ones and now we got the Heritage and now maybe a little too much. Or if we're going to do that, make it like outdoor hockey rink in North America and let every team play maybe a home and an away game, like a home and home series versus someone close to them, and each have that when fans can get back, and just maybe one weekend, you know, make it a North America hockey weekend. And while that, you know, everyone gets in on the piece of the action and the money, it doesn't have to necessarily be the fan fest of the Winter Classic with like the carnivals and all that, but each city could make it their own and what they wanted to do. Go ahead.
I know that on Hockey Night in Canada last night with Chris Johnson and Elliot Friedman, mm-hmm. Chris Johnson actually brought up that the NHL is still interested in holding a game at Lake Louise. But the thing is Lake Louise is a protected environment per the country of Canada. And what we call national parks here, I'm not sure what they call them up in Canada, but having an event like that, you're not allowed to have any advertising going on because it's country it's protected. Like public.
Well, it's government protected, but probably with the promotional thing is probably because it's considered
right.
Everyone's. So, it's all of Canada, so they can't be benefiting from public whatever.
Yeah, they get a lot of work to do on that aspect, but he seems to think that there's some good friggin' dialogue going on into next year. I don't believe these games are going to stop. It's big for the league. I mean, this is big for national TV. And to be honest with you, I actually really liked it without the fans. You know, I like it in this type of environment because you're closer to the rink itself. I think the camera angles are much closer, and you're not drowned out by all the noise. You can actually hear these guys talking to each other. You can hear the chunkiness of the ice and them cutting in and so on. So it's kind of very cool to just have it there without anybody around. But the league does make a ton of money with fans in the stands too. So I mean, I get it from both aspects, but
if it's going to be out in a natural environment, I want as little disturbance to the natural environment. So like if they could have a game at Lake Louise, I absolutely don't want people up there tromping and like, you know, we leave a big enough footprint when we do an event like that somewhere. But I just wish we talk about this all the time. And hopefully this is something they can remedy with new contracts, you know, for television going forward, but certain things should be on the big, like had it been planned a little better, or not blaming anybody, just like things happen, you know what I mean? I'm not putting blame on anyone. We could have already had this game scheduled to start at 8 o'clock on Sunday night on NBC, things like that, where you're going to get a bigger audience anyways. But we talk about this all the time. They missed their opportunity to blow this. Even though it's a regional sport, we have a national, you know, big enough, the same amount of teams as football, baseball, whatever, but they don't market to the general public. So you have to have the right streaming app and be in the right market or you're going to get blocked. Like, that's annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah, absolutely so. Right. The NHL does a terrible job at marketing the product, in my opinion.
Which is weird because you hear, like, sometimes, I don't know, like, I know NHL, they have a few podcasts that they have, like, marketers on, people in the league, and the vice presidents of this and that and GMs and everyone. And it sounds like they have all these great ideas that can help drag hockey into 2021.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the good old boys club just still won't, you know, again, hockey doesn't have to be, I am a robot, stuffy white kid. Like,
right.
It doesn't have to be like that. It can be fun. It can be like Zibanejad and Marchand, you know? I mean, I guess that doesn't argue against the white guy thing, but still, you know, it's fun. It's like, and the weird thing is like hockey is like kind of a silly, fun sport. It's like super serious, but at the same time, it's full of like, damn, I didn't get the shot off and whatever, you know, razzing and all this, just like sports teams are. So just loosen up, man. Let those young kids that are coming out with their media degrees and marketing degrees from the modern age help you transition, help you use social media. Because I follow all the teams. The NHL isn't even good at marketing their own stuff on. Like, they are just printing stuff out to the hockey fans that are going to follow them anywhere. They're not really growing themselves over social media. But some of the teams are brilliant at social media. I swear, I want to be best friends with the Carolina Hurricanes. I haven't liked them even when I was a kid and they were the Hartford Whalers, but... No, that's just something I think they should go going forward. I just didn't know if it was a big deal. My only thing with them practicing outside was just, like you said, it's different ice to kind of get a feel for it. So hopefully they can get some good warm-ups and not just them, Philly too. Get out there tonight and hopefully it stays cool. But that being said, Krejci and Miller stayed home and Jerovacainen and Stanika got called back up. What say you, Mr. Prospect, young guys, plug them in, play them, see what they can do. Good opportunity if they do get in the lineup.
Are we already at that part of the agenda for prospect talk?
No. This is just generally about traveling for a Tahoe.
Oh,
it's just an excuse. Yes. So what do you think? Euro, you know, studs coming back up. They're plugging in for Miller's getting rest.
I thought Sutnika did okay in his rehab stint down in Providence. And that's exactly what it is. It is a rehab stint because he's still injured. There's some games that I've been watching that he looks like he's very... he looks like he's still hurt, but he's playing through it, which is gives a lot of heart, but it also gives me a lot of concern about his addition to this lineup. And if he was actually the better player or the best player to consider, but that's their decision. But let's see what he can do. Juho... wasn't completely thrilled with his game last year. I still think he took a step back in his development. That might have been injury related to his concussion the year before. But this year, I'm seeing a different Juho Vaakanainen. More involved in the play, aggressive in his transition out of the zone. And the young Providence Bruins defense just continues to amaze me. So, not a shocker that he would get the call over some younger guys. Obviously, there's a little bit of seniority there. But I think he's going to fit in the lineup really good. Hopefully he does well because this is a big year for him and his development and moving forward. Because I still believe that the Bruins will try the best to get rid of John Moore. And I'm not saying that because I hate the guy, but I'm saying it that they need to relieve that cap space because if the cap is not going up and it's going to stay flat for another 2 years, having John Moore in the lineup or on the roster is not doing you any justice right now. And I think if Moore is out, I think Vaakanainen could easily slide in there with some roster availability with departures coming up next year. Who knows what's going to happen with Kevin Miller, John Moore, you know. So it remains to be seen, but... I'm excited to see these two kids get in a big stage like this. You got to bring it. You got to really show that, you can be relied on when you get a recall. Or if you play so well, the problem of getting you out of the lineup is not a bad thing either. But it remains to be seen on how he does. But, hopefully they do well.
Yeah. And it should be mentioned that Philadelphia is still missing, Sean Couturier was already injured.
I got that.
But yeah, Philly does also still. Do you have the list? I can't remember. I know.
I do have the list. I took a screenshot of it, and Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a few people that are still on the COVID list that did not travel.
All right. I got it right here. So the COVID protocol for the Philadelphia Flyers is defenseman Justin Braun, forward Claude Giroux, forward Jakub Voracek, forward Oscar Lindblom. I think he's a forward. Scott Laughton and Travis Konechny. So that's some pretty powerful folks that are not going to be in that Philadelphia lineup. This is an opportunity for the Boston Bruins to really take advantage of this. And hopefully they do, because I hate to say this, but you're pretty much playing half of an NHL, half of an AHL team. I mean, to be honest with you, that's the way it looks right now. But do you want me to read the lineups?
Yeah, if you want to, real quick.
All right, so we got 15 minutes before our mid-break. The top line is going to be Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak. We know that. Nick Ritchie's on the left side. Charlie Coyle is centering the second line with Craig Smith on the right. Anders Bjork is on the left. Jack Sidnicka slides into the third spot. Third center spot alongside Jake DeBrusk, who's moved to the right side. So that's going to be an interesting third line. I'll take that any day. Sean Corrali on the fourth line, centering left wing Trent Frederick and right wing Chris Wagner. The defensive pairings are Jeremy Lauzon and Charlie McAvoy. Juho Vaakanainen and Brandon Carlo are the second pairing. Third pairing is a little bit of a woo. Let's see what happens here, but John Moore and Connor Clifton. Tuukka Rask in net. So,
well,
I mean,
that should be fun.
Yeah, I like the addition of Cliffy Hockey back into it. I think he's been playing well the more time he gets. And he's got something to prove, because I think him in the flip-flop thing with Brad Marchand was absolutely friggin' hilarious.
This is what Brad Marchand does when he is bored, is he chirps his teammates and everyone, he just is on social media scrolling like, witty
thing. Dude, last night was amazing.
Oh my God.
He was all over everybody.
He's crazy. Yeah, so you're right. It's kind of a half a Philly team, half a Boston team in various stages right now. But yeah, definitely those are some big names to be out of your lineup, and they've already been without. I mean, I'm surprised Philly has survived this well. I mean, they lost a major piece, you know, Selke winner, actually. And we're missing some pieces.
Go ahead.
What did you want to say? Go ahead.
Speaking of that, the Kevin Miller out of the lineup is not injury related, and it's not COVID related. I think this is important to mention. It did come out yesterday in a press conference from Bruce Cassidy and members of the staff that Kevin Miller is load management. So he's not injured, but they wanted to make sure that knee is not getting overworked, which makes absolute sense and so on. So just to kind of throw in a little nugget there about him being injured, because that's what I thought too, but it's not that. It's just a load management thing. And kind of the timing's weird that they would put him out on a week off. You think that they would have done that sooner or later and then had him ready for a big stage game like this. But who knows? But just wanted to throw that in there.
They might have given him a little bit more time because Grizz is out and stuff like that on the back end. So maybe just Miller was feeling okay, but maybe now we don't know. He didn't. It's been said it's for maintenance, but he could have very well like tweaked something a little, and it's just more like sit back and rest, because they do have so much more time. We do not play again until Thursday. Then we got a back-to-back. So I guess this is a good time. It stinks because Miller won't be able to play outside again, you know, and maybe miss that cool opportunity. But at the same time, I think he's trying to at least play all 55 games or whatever from here out. This is a good time. I think we have time. And then after the break, we'll go into upcoming action and your prospect slash.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes before we talk about.
Right. So this is a good time, now that you've read the lines out, I think, to insert this one, which really wasn't a topic, but it's always a general discussion. What is going on with Charlie Coyle? He's only got 4 points. Is it his wingers? Is it something going on with him? Is he battling a little bit of an injury? Is he in his own head? He's looking, I don't want to say the Charlie Coyle that you weren't on board for that came here. I don't want to put it that badly, but he does not look right. So now that he is our second line center with new wingers again, but technically Richie was one of his old wingers, right? So yeah. This year and Smith. So really he's with them. So it's like the line is kind of back together that had been before, but just generally, do you know what's going on with Coyle? Do you have any inkling? Is he going to be okay on the other side? Cause I like Charlie Coyle and I think he's been played since he's gotten here the way that I think that he could play. You know, like people are saying, like with Richie, he found a home and now he's playing better. That was Coyle, I think, when he got here. But now I'm starting to see a little old Coyle. Like, you might as well put him on the right wing. Sorry, that's my Coyle bit you go.
I still believe in Charlie Coyle. And his puck possession is still top-notch and so on. But he does have to start executing, getting more shots on net. I don't want to see him go through the struggles that he went through in Minnesota, which is kind of what I'm seeing kind of like now. And one of the reasons why I was not happy about the trade, but obviously when I got to see Charlie play more, I was more bought in. I know from several people that I talked to, either Minnesota Wild fans or Minnesota Wild media in the past, that he is very hard on himself. He's a perfectionist. He wants to do the best that he can, but most of the time, some of these people that I talked to said that is his biggest problem. Is he's thinking too much, trying to do too much, and trying to be a part too much. That it's over. He's putting an overburden on himself and his skill set. So hopefully he can snap out of it. I know he's not one of these goal scorers that's going to put up 30 or 40, but you still, a player like that, you would still like to see 15, 20, 30 assists. A 55-point season is not out of the realm for a player like him. And he's got to get back on board no matter what when it comes to point totals. But also, I mean, this is just goes along with more secondary scoring problems that we're having. Secondary scoring was a little better at the beginning of the year, but then it started to come back to we're a one-line team, you know? Mm. And that can't happen, especially in this short and condensed season, especially in a playoff series. You have to rely on more members of this team and not just the top three to get your offensive going.
I hope Coyle gets it back together because it's not even just the points he can produce. He's that player, like when Sean Corrali's on, that just kind of is like, come on, guys, like, you know, and gets it going. It not necessarily with, like, you know, getting like McAvoy and Frederick and them get chippy when they get a thing and they get it going that way. But Coyle's kind of the, like, follow the leader. Come on, boys, we're going to get on the board and hopefully that'll trigger everyone else. And I feel like he's just got like something, little of his pep in his step seems to be off. And maybe that is if he's in his own head, he's a perfectionist, struggling a little bit. Maybe it's just the situation. I mean, like we talked about, the team has kind of taken a step back defensively, but we're going to need you, especially if Krejci, this isn't just a week, you know?
Yeah, but like you said, it might be it might not even be him. It might be the revolving door of his wingers. Because on both sides of him, left and right, he's seen a mix of different players on game occasions. It almost seems like there's no consistency on that line. So, I mean, that could be a fact that, you know, if you can't create chemistry and, you know, and you're not doing it with the support of players that you have, And playing game by game with the same teammates, I still believe that you're not going to be doing as good, but you're still a professional. You still have to produce and try the best that you can as an individual when you're put into a lineup that Bruce Cassidy puts together. So let's see what happens.
It turns out, Charlie Coyle, you really are the new David Krejci.
Oh, geez.
You too will have to shun the burden of never, like, looking right and left, mostly right for Krejci. You know, since DeBrusk came, mostly right.
Yeah.
But again, can do great things, but being asked to be a miracle worker at times is also a little ridiculous. You know, like, you don't leave anyone there, or this is two trade deadlines in which Krejci got a winger that he can't even play with because they're injured or gone or COVID or whatever the heck is gone on. So congratulations, Charlie Coyle. You really may be the future second line center of the Boston Bruins, near to have the same wingers for more than a week or two before something happens and they have to be moved around. Yeah, that's going to be a bummer. Also, this goes back to, it's not a downgrade on Charlie, but I love him as the third. The third line is, we have one of the best, that's one of the best depth lines, I think, that we could possibly come up with without going in. I mean, we spent a little with Craig Smith, but without going and inquiring at least another Craig Smith for the other side, with what we have, I think a good mix to help the young kids figure out if they fit in, if they're staying here, and even get their trade value up a little bit, because let's face it, with the Seattle draft, which again, I didn't forget Chris Blackie. I swear to God, we're going to circle back to the Seattle draft.
Oh, I keep forgetting, you know, about
protecting
that.
Protecting this and that. But yeah, that's, I was just wondering what's up with Coyle. We have a few more minutes before break time. So what do you think is going to happen at the Tahoe game? You think we're going to win? We never even did like a...
I'm hoping so. Like I said before, all these points are so, so valuable in this season. So yeah, I do want to see them win. It's going to be interesting to see the workload of these younger kids that are coming in, like the Jackson Neek. We've seen him a couple times in the lineup this year before he got injured. Yurho playing his first game in well over a year. So he's been down to Providence working hard and trying to get it done, trying to round out his game. I want to see a big win, but I really hope that the ice conditions are good enough to get this thing going. It will be late enough at night that I think that it'll be fine, because I did stay up and watch at least 10 minutes of the game last night, and the ice conditions seemed to be much better, favorable when the sun was not around. So, and that was an exciting game in the replays that I watched this morning.
I'm only laughing because that's how like the playoffs were, the beginning of the playoffs last summer, where it was like, this game's starting at 11 tonight because it had to get pushed back. That's a hard start for the players, right? You get 13 minutes in or whatever. But I agree. Hopefully we can take advantage of Philly not being quite Philly, you know, constructed wise. And hopefully Yarrow has a good, that's a big, I just was saying, that's a big pairing. Brandon Carlo and Yarrow Vakanainen. That's some big boys right there.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can use it. Most importantly, I hope all the players, and by all the players, I mean mostly Boston, but also Philly, because they're in our division, get back and forth safely. No one gets an unnecessary ACL tear for some bad ice or something that. And that all the boys, and also I guess Vegas and Colorado, but they got less place to go. They could drive home if they wanted to.
That's
just
true.
Saying. So that being said, we're almost to the break mark. Do you want to break, or do you have anything else you want to add about Tahoe? We got about a minute.
No, we'll talk. We'll do the break now.
Okay.
Let's hear from our friend and distributor of these awesome Boston Bruins related items, hand signed by alumni and current team players. But he is Bruce Sullivan, and he is the owner and operator of Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. Go check out the website. Go check out Facebook and follow and like or whatever, Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. He does giveaways every week where if you share one of his items and you like it, you get involved into a drawing, weekly drawing, and he gives away hand-signed stuff all the time. To get involved, definitely do it. I won some stuff, and I also buy all of our Patreon hand-signed jerseys that we give away every month. We've given away two so far. Terry O'Reilly jersey is coming up next month, so you want to get involved in that. Go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and check it out. But check out these items that Bruce Sullivan has right now in this black and gold moment of the week. We'll be right back.
Hello, Bruins fans. This is Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia with our black and gold memorabilia moment of the week. Beginning this week, we are showcasing items from our most recent private signing with Bruins 9-time All-Star, NHL Top 100 player, and Hall of Fame legend Brad Park, including authenticated jerseys, photo displays, and custom special editions, all as part of the Brad Park Hall of Fame collection. This week, we offer a hand-signed, dual-authenticated puck with Brad's signature and Hall of Fame 88 inscription for just $35. We are also showcasing a Terry O'Reilly 16x20 Boston Beatdown autograph special edition with dual authentication, custom framing, matting, and oversized 11x14 photo for just $109. For more information on our dozens of Bruins hand-signed pieces and your chance to win free memorabilia each week, check us out at our Facebook page, Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, or email me directly at bostonsportsandmusic@gmail.com. And be sure to tune in each week right here to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Let's go!
Hey, Bruins fans, we're back, and we just heard from the awesome Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. Please go to that Facebook page, check it out, buy some stuff, get in touch with them via email if you want to put in a claim to get a hand-signed jersey or a picture or anything. It's all Boston Sports related, so he does a fantastic job, and we are thrilled to have him aboard. So, Heather, where are we going now with the agenda as we wind the show down?
Yes. So before we get into the upcoming action and such and get through the last few topics we have here, I just wanted to mention, I know I've kind of been slacking on milestone updates, but something to watch, and you'll probably hear this maybe later tonight or after the Tahoe game, but Brad Marchand may be scoring his 300th goal today if Marshy does Marshy things. It could be his 300th and maybe even his 303rd goal. Who knows? Whatever he does, what he does. But that's just something to keep a watch on for those of you who do have NBCSN and will be around at 7:30 or just generally. All right. So we have three games upcoming this week. We're playing the Islanders again on Thursday at the Island again. They've got 17 points. I mean, 17 games played, 19 points. They're 8-6-3. They're 4-0-1 at home, so they play really well at home. We've lost to them twice, 1-0, and then 4-2, which was the yucky game last week. They're 5-2-3, so the Islanders seem to be pulling themselves up a little bit, playing a little more steady like they knew. And Friday, February 26th, and Sunday, February 28th, we're playing the Rangers Friday at 7 at Madison Square Garden. And the Sunday game is actually at noontime. So we probably will be recording when the game's on, or we'll figure that out how to get around on that. The Rangers are 6-7-3. They've got 15 points. They're losing, though. We've won both times we played them. We beat them 1-0. The last time we played them on the 12th of February, and we won 3-2. That was one of those overtime wins. They are not so hot at home, so hopefully we can take advantage of that. And that will be the upcoming games as we continue to play the same teams ad nauseum over and over again for this entire season. So hopefully we start a win streak today and we can continue it into next week. Another long week of no Bruins hockey. Keep it together, Bruins fans.
Yeah, that's a bit of a concern for me. And what I said about Joe Haggerty's tweet about what Bruce Cassidy says is they had 4 or 5 days of no game time and they should have been ready. These mild stretches of days without Boston Bruins hockey have got to be you have to be attentive and be prepared, because obviously the Islanders they're not messing around when these two play each other. And the Rangers, you know, they're a beatable team, and we have been able to take care of them throughout the season so far. But these are also teams that I keep saying that they're lower in the standings, that they could always be that stinker and be a real pain in the ass. But Boston has a 10-3-2 record with 22 points, and they go up against Philly today, and they have an 8-3-3 record with 19 points. So I like the goal differential for the Boston Bruins. They have a plus 11, and Philly has a plus 4, but everybody else is either minus and doesn't have any positives. So that's something good to look forward to, even though that we need scoring. So,
well, all the goals are being scored in the Canadian Scotia North Division or whatever. No shit. So that's really it. Connor McDavid is just disgusting.
He is. That goal last night was absolutely freaking just unreal.
I saw like the funny thing. It was like McDavid 4, Flames 1 or something like that. Like it's, he's a pleasure to watch. We've been very blessed to have seen some great players over the years, and he just really is fun to watch. So, that being said, Mark, as for future players, do you have a little prospect/affiliates update? I don't know what to call this, but Mark's weekly
minor pro minute, which will probably take a lot longer than a minute.
Mark's minor pro minute. I'm going to write that down.
The Providence Bruins played one game last week, and it was a 1-0 win on Friday, February 19th. I streamed that game live stream with my friend Dan Rice Dave Rice from over in England, which was kind of cool that we sat down and did that. And surprisingly, I got to tell you something, which is weird. Surprisingly, his feed was less than a second away from mine, and he's in England. But when I do games with the Dump and Change guys, like Boosie's a minute and a half, and he's like 40 minutes away from me. Which is absolutely crazy that we were right on the stream. So that was kind of cool to have him aboard. But the Providence Bruins got a 1-0 shutout. Zach Senyshyn got his second goal of the year. Dan Vladar played really well. I thought this was his coming out game, because when he played in the first game for Providence being sent down, I didn't think he played very well at all. He had some tough times tracking the puck. Not in this game. Gets the no-no against the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. But the Providence Bruins play this afternoon at 1 p.m. By the time you're hearing this, this will probably be over. But I am live streaming that game. They play the Hartford Wolfpack at 1 p.m. I said that. And the rest of the week, they play Thursday, February 25th against Bridgeport. And they play Saturday, the 27th, to round out the month of February against the Hartford Wolfpack. So let's get to some stats to give you guys an update. Jakub Lauko has played in 4 games. He's got 5 points. That's 1 goal, 4 assists, and 5 points. And he has been really good so far this season. Zach Senyshyn's got 2, 1, and 3 numbers in 4 games. Cameron Hughes has been playing well. He's got 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points. Jack O'Shan, the defenseman, which I really like, him paired with Brady Lyle. I mean, this pairing is the third pairing. And I kind of think it's almost the better pairing. Call me crazy. But, no, there's some good things that are happening. Oscar Steen's been playing well. Cooper Zek's been just a truck. That guy's unbelievable. Robert Lantoshi's been playing well. Paul Carey's been a real good player as that veteran leadership and the captain that this team needs. Samuel Asselin has just been unbelievable, flying all over the place. This kid is absolutely on fire. New member Alex Olivier Voyer, he's got a goal on the season, but he's like that big, he reminds me of a bigger Marchand that just gets in your face, and just that he's like a big power forward, and I think he's been playing well. So, injury update on Curtis Hall. Curtis Hall, he was playing for the Yale Bulldogs in the NCAA Ivy League. Obviously, the Ivy League shut down their operations due to the COVID, and he had needed a place to go, and he signed an entry level or an AHL deal with the Providence Bruins. And played in one game and didn't play the whole game. Mark Diver was in the house at the New England Sports Center in Marlboro, Massachusetts, and noticed him halfway through the game that he was up in the stands in dress clothes. So he's week to week with some kind of either upper or lower body injury. I'm not totally sure on that, but that's pretty much everything that's going on. Jeremy Swayman's been playing well in net. I did say something about Dan Vladar's been playing good. And even going down to the East Coast League with Kyle Kaiser, he's been starting to really pick it up in his games with the Jacksonville Icemen. So lots of good things going on in the prospect world with this team, and I look forward to seeing how this Providence Bruins club matches up against the Hartford Wolfpack today in Hartford, because this is the team that it's only a three-team division. It's Providence, it's Bridgeport, and it's Hartford. And Bridgeport seems to be the team that we can basically not run over. It's a challenge. They're challenging games, but the wins are coming from playing Bridgeport. Hartford seems to be that thorn in the Bruins side right now. So hopefully today that'll change. These guys are going to see a lot of each other, so there's going to get some nastiness. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully I'll get this done. I'll be doing a live stream. But that's it for the
crying guy.
That's it for the that's it for the minor pro minute. It's
probably all right, like that's four. From now on. It will be Mark's minor pro minute. That's what
we gotta reschedule that one. It's gonna be more than a minute, so we'll figure something out.
I just wanted to mention, if anyone else is, maybe you've seen it out there. If not, go look up a picture. So Bauer did like special edition skates for its Black History Month, obviously, in the United States at least. And they are like special edition. And there's a few players wearing them. I know Patrick Kane had his on the other day I saw, but they're Willie O'Ree. And it's got like all the, you know, inspirational kind of quotes that go along with these kind of things, but they are gorgeous. They are absolutely gorgeous. What a great idea to promote, you know. I mean, you see in other leagues all sorts of like, you know, for different causes or different themes or, you know, hashtags or whatever to get publication for it. And I think that's really nice. Willie O'Ree, obviously, we know that it was just the anniversary not that long ago of him playing his first NHL game. And it, obviously, we're big advocates of Willie, and we love that he's getting the love. But he is getting love everywhere. And Bauer, I think that was a really classy move on them to do something to acknowledge, you know, maybe next year there'll be a whole line of great, you know, African-American / Canadian players that have played or from other places. But mostly, obviously, we're going to talk about, mostly it's going to be U.S. and Canada boys that had done it. So good job, Bauer. Good on you. Good on the players wearing them and really helping promote it. Just another way that I know wearing these skates doesn't give social change, but it's a way, again, of using your platform for meaningful change. And also just to honor someone who is important within your own league of being a groundbreaker and a ceiling smasher and all of that. So that's that. Well, the last like big item we have on the list to talk about is Bruins trade rumors. I know we're always in on everybody for every trade ever, and I get that. That's just the way it is. But this week, we have reached the pinnacle. People on YouTube, this is where Inga Rant's going to probably start. It was proposed by, well, it all started with a Belcher report. And Evan Marinovsky had tweeted the Belcher report. Then he got blamed as if it was his crazy idea, these crazy
rumors. Oh, I know.
That Sidney Crosby may be on the chopping block, or trade block, whatever, which seems, I don't know why Sidney Crosby certainly is not indicated, but because there's been a shakeup in Pittsburgh, they're kind of struggling, you know, Gino and Letang, and they have money issues and just kind of winning issues, and there's a lot going on. Felger on the 98.5 Sports Hub proposed trading David Pastrnak for Sidney Crosby, but not just
was David that Maz? Pastrnak. I think that was Maz.
I think
Felger was the one that was saying no. You don't do that.
No, I'm pretty sure that it was Felger. But well, I just listened to it earlier. That's why I'm saying to re-listen to what was actually said.
Yeah, I think Felger was against it. So
it was on all of the ones though they talked about it now. I have to say, Toucher and Rich is very reasonable. They are the one spot besides the Sports Hub Hockey Show or listening to Judd and Bob before the games that you're going to really hear hockey talk because it's always Patriot season on 98.5 Sports Hub.
It's annoying.
Or Brady season. Like, go away. Brady doesn't even live here anymore. I'm not saying never talk about him, but when there's basketball and hockey going on, most of your 4 hours should not be spent on the Patriots quarterback situation. Just saying. Anyways, it's crazy. Do you know what we would have to give up? Not just David Pastrnak to get Sidney Crosby. It's just, okay, Mark, you need to go so I can formulate
so,
my brain.
So what's going on here is it won't work. You can't figure this out on the cap because Sidney Crosby makes some pretty significant money. The return, if they want to move Sidney Crosby, and it's been talked about by some national analysts that it could happen, that new GM, Ron Hextall, and president of hockey operations, new Brian Burke, could make a shakeup to get younger players involved in the organization and properly do a rebuild. So it's not out of the realm of this happening. But when it comes to the Boston Bruins, it's way too much of a price to pay. Yes, Sidney Crosby is still a good player, but he's not the player that he was when he was younger. He's aging. We get it. But the thing is like the Boston Bruins are in a transition period where they're trying to move in younger members while some departing members are going to be happening in the near future. You want to build on your youth. So my thing is, this is only an idea to address the winning now and screw the future. Because if you do that, you'd be giving away so much, you're taking steps back in your development, and you need to replenish your prospect pool. You need to get a first-round pick this year and not give it away. These first-round picks are just being thrown away. I mean, yes, we needed to get rid of that $6 million for David Backes on the books, but I don't think it was necessary that a first-round pick had to be involved. So I don't see that happening. Jack Eichel, that trade crap is starting to pick up again. Would you trade this person for that person? You know, I don't see it. I see Jack Eichel makes $10 million a year. We have 3 point something in cap space. It doesn't feasibly work. You'd have to give up so much. And then the waiver wire. The waiver wire was driving me crazy lately because when somebody goes on waivers, everybody's just like, oh, the Bruins should pick up this guy. Adam Henrique is the most recent waiver drop from the Anaheim Ducks, and he makes $5 million. His underlying stats are really good. He's not really producing, but he's a shooter. He's a good center. And there's the word of the day. He's a center. So where do we put players like this? And we're going to like shift people. All right, let's get Adam Henrique off the waiver wire, which we can't afford because he makes close to $6 million a year. But let's put him third line center and put Charlie Coyle on the right side to look at, like a deer in headlights and continue to struggle offensively. It just doesn't work. I mean, I get everybody has an opinion and I respect it. I really do. But this is just crazy talk on anything that comes around. The Bruins are always involved in it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the Eichel thing is just drives me absolutely nuts because of the dollar value. You'd have to get so much off of your current roster to make that addition come in. Doesn't make much sense.
Sidney Crosby is going to cost you your future. Like whatever you think you're trying to build. That's a DeBrus and a Bjork and a Carlo.
First round, second round.
And on. Also, if you do that, Sidney Crosby isn't going to want to play in Boston. Because what would be attracted to him? Sure, it's very attractive, I'm sure. Him, Bergeron, and Marchand have a long history of international play together. Like, their buddies, they're all kind of around the same, you know, like, they're a few years between each other or whatever. But if you don't re-sign Krejci and you don't whatever, you're just creating the same problems in Boston that they're having in Pittsburgh right now. Crosby isn't going to be down with it. He'd rather stay probably on the ship. I mean, he didn't come on board. He's a kid that's like whole essence is to be the face and the body of the Pittsburgh Penguins. That being said, I don't think he's going to be very happy about the mumblings of like, you got to dump Malkin, you got to do that, you know, because good, bad, and ugly, Sid and Evgeny are a team. You know what I mean? They're kind of the backbone. And I know it's not working out for Pittsburgh, but I just feel like that's not going to – you can get all the young talent in the world, but then you're still waiting around for 3 or 4 years for the kids to really develop and get going. And I just – it is too much of betting the farm for I mean, again, are we trading for 23-year-old Sidney Crosby? Because if we are, then we're talking about a different situation as far as I'm concerned. And he's still Sidney Crosby. But like I say, it's really Connor McDavid's world and we're all just living in it. But yeah, that just, it's too crazy. And I'm sorry, this just goes, I am not surprised to hear this shit on 98.5, the Sports Hub, which is really the Patriots land and sometimes Red Sox and they do like the Celtics, but certain shows. And that's not, I like some of their, like Zolak and Bertrand. And again, when Zoe's talking hockey, you don't feel like he's a total idiot. But again, I'm going to take my sports light and stick with Toucher and Rich, who do talk about hockey pretty regularly. They have people on talking about it. And I don't know why, like, why do we listen to, it's the weirdest dynamic with sports radio in Boston. And I would argue the other sports radio is starting to suck too, because it's the same bullshit starting to, you know.
Yeah.
It's like watching Jerry Springer, but for sports. Like, there's no rhyme or reason, just like crazy shit where we ignore whole sports like they're not even happening. Like, they'll talk about the Bruins once they get, like, meaningful discussion once they're in, like, the last round of the playoffs so that they can make sure all the opinions are known, how sucky we are, how Tuukka Rask sucks, everybody sucks, this whole team sucks, even though they're the only team that's been consistently winning for the last few seasons. That's okay. We won't bring that up or anything. But, yeah, I can't, like, with the sports radio. I don't listen to it on the actual radio. I download them as podcasts and skip everything that doesn't have a Bruins headline on it because I know I want to smash my head in. And I like other sports. You know me. I like good baseball talk. I can't deal with that, yeah. Man.
I checked out on 98.5 when I texted them in when they allowed texting back in the day when they first thought. Yeah. And it was Gresh and Zoe. Remember that?
Yeah.
And and I went in and I was like, well, I want to talk about this. And then all of a sudden I get the text back from Gresh and he said, oh, it's football season. We don't talk about hockey till March.
Yeah.
And that's when I basically checked out. I was like, you're not all about all sports. You're catering to certain sports. And then every time they came on, I would send them a text and say, it's time for Gresh and Zoe in the 4-hour football show. And I just keep doing that because I was pissed. So yeah. That's why I have like 150 hockey podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis because I cannot stand sports radio. Unless like Ty Anderson goes on, then I'm all about that. I do like the hockey show that 98.5 puts on every Saturday during the Bruins season. That's enjoyable. You get Judge Surratt, you get Billy, you get Bob Beers. Ty comes in, and Ryan Johnson does a fantastic job. So. Yeah.
I do enjoy Ty Anderson. He's on a new podcast. They started 98.5, the Sidelines. That's because again, Ty talks a lot of hockey and it's not all hockey, but like their hour one the other day, half of it was about the Bruins and the other half was think about the Celts. Cause they're, you know, just the seasons run concurrent. So they're at that point of who we trading and their trade seasons heating up and stuff. Yeah, but that's just fucking crazy, okay? I can't. Like, no one is trading David Pastrnak for Sidney Crosby. No one is. Also, we're not trading. We would have to trade, if we kept Pastrnak, we would have to trade half of the rest of the team with term.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Brian Burke's going to want. Brian Burke doesn't play. Like, he's a very, very, he's been out of the game for, like, in the last decade, but he's been in the game. He's been covering it. He's been on Sportsnet or whatever.
That Pittsburgh organization is not in a win now motto. They're in a building stage. So they're not going to want to take on players that are not going to stick around in the organization. They want to have some terms so they can talk to them and get some familiarity with each player as they move forward and see if we want to retain each player's rights as we try to rebuild this organization. So I don't see it happen. I just see it, you know, some people love the trade talk. They get off on it. I just don't. I find it very annoying that you could throw out a name out there without doing any proper research on websites like Puckpedia or Cap Friendly, and you see a number that you can see, and you see a number that a player is making, and it doesn't jive. Let's put a square peg in a circle. You know, it's like that. And I just, I don't get into it. I am captain no fun when it comes to trade talks.
I was going to say, I am someone who believes if I'm putting $5 million into Adam Henrique, I am not. I am putting that $5 million towards Jack Eichel's $10 million. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Or I'm getting two players, you know, two Craig Smiths or whatever for that same amount. I just, the value dollar. But Connor Ryan summed it up in this tweet. He says, my column, should the Bruins trade David Pastrnak? And when you open the picture, it says, no, you jabronis. Like, that pretty much exactly sums up the... What, like, really? Okay, this goes... Okay, I can't. This is almost crazier than the trade Tuca crowd, and I can't. Sorry about the ripping there. I know people are noise sensitive in the background. Sorry, it's just... I'm a paper ripper. It's what I do. Sorry. Okay, so that being said, it's time for... Hashtag ask BNG. As always, please send in over the week hashtag BNG questions. I know this weekend was kind of a weird timeline because we were going to record and then we didn't. It's like, no, just kidding. Extend it. Like, nah. But we did get three of them. We'll talk about them now. Always use the hashtag ask BNG. So thank you, gentlemen, who sent in these questions, who follow the rules and regulations of Inga's brain. So where did I go? Sorry. All right. Chad McBean asks, if Krejci is out for a while, is this the second center tryout for Coyle? More importantly, does Stanika get a shot at 3C? Still impressed by the young D and Miller. Do they need to upgrade, though? How good is Richie? So obviously that's...
Yeah.
I was trying to... So, that's... Yeah, Coyle. Talk Coyle.
I think he's... I think this is going to be good because you do want to see what Charlie Coyle can do minus David Krejci in this Boston Bruins lineup in the future, because Krejci's obviously on his last year of his deal. So you want to get an idea of his future with a higher ranking up the top six. So I think it's going to be important for him to take advantage of all the opportunities he has on that second line to try to help create secondary scoring, whether he's putting the puck in his net himself or dishing it off to a line mate. But yeah, I mean, this is the next one. I mean, Coyle's on term. He's got, like, I don't know how many more years, but he's got a couple few. So, and with departures, you're going to see him rise up the lineup. So there's no better time to evaluate and actually see what you have in him right now. So great question from Chad McFean. By the way, Chad, thank you so much for all the retweets and mentioning our show with your poker programs as well. I find those very entertaining. But I also appreciate the reach that you continue to do trying to get our show out there. So thank you.
What do you think about the flip side of this? Yes, thank you, Chad. It makes me happy. It's always one of the first Monday tweets you see, like, you know,
yep.
Happy Monday, like... He's really good about that stuff. But about the young D and Miller, do we still need to upgrade? I think yes. I think we still need someone else on that back end. That's just me personally. Again, nothing against Butt, but like, if that New Jersey game is any indication of what happens when things get sloppy.
I will say something that I wanted to talk about when the trade rumors. Nashville Predators defenseman Matthias Lindholm has been... is a really good defenseman, and I mean, he comes at a decent cap number, which I don't have available right now, but he plays on the left side and so on, so he's been gaining some traction on some things. I think Pierre LeBrun wrote an article in The Athletic about Boston possibly being one of the top teams that could inquire about him and get him. So it's going to be interesting, because David Poile pretty much came out, or somebody, and said that there's three members of that organization that are untouchable. And one of them was Pekka, which I thought was weird. Guy's coming down to the end of his career. And Ryan Johansson, and then somebody else. I don't know who it was. But pretty much anybody else on that roster is available to move if the price is right. So there's another one. It's like, how much more do you need to give up to get a defenseman like this, and how many steps back can you take? I don't know. But, I mean, any addition to the lineup is good, but it also puts into a retrospect that when you come on to the Seattle draft, another defenseman coming in is a defenseman that you're going to have to unprotect, which would be Brandon Carlo. It could be Charlie McAvoy. I know that's not going to happen, but these scenarios can come up.
Yeah, and it all depends, too, on term, whose term, how young are they, first-time RFAs, do they get, there's like a whole thing on that. But that being said, though, let's continue with the defense. Northern Lights asked Sports asked us, thank you, said, good morning, with injuries, lack of scoring, and experience on defense, who should the Bruins be targeting in a trade, say, for defense? Have a great show and enjoy your Sunday. I still think we need someone like I know like Sammy Vatanen hasn't been playing quite himself this year. He seems to be getting it together a little, but a player like that, that's very versatile on the back end, but has some real experience. He's not too old, but he's not too young, has some playoff experience, can play either side of the defensive pairing with like kind of seamless. He's been very important to Carolina over the years back there, things like that. But a player like that, I know there's a list. I mean, even if circling back to a Sam Bennett, but again, that's long-term. Like I said, I'm all for trade deadline if we have to pop something off, if we can get somebody with a little term. But I still think it needs to be that kind of player, in their sweet spot between 25 and 29, who has enough experience. They're not just coming up out of the AHL. So when we see the teams in the playoffs, especially when we get beyond, like if we see Tampa Bay in the playoffs, if we get to the third round, however they're bracketing it, who knows? We're not going to have seen them all year, where usually we played them, so we kind of can feel them out. It's the same team, but they're going to have been playing differently all year. It's not the exact same team. So that's just me. Mark, do you have anyone? I know, with the exception of if we could get Dylan, you know what I mean? Like, do you?
Brendan Dylan?
No matter how you were like, we need to get like someone, you know, that's flexible like that.
Yeah, I don't know about this one. It's a tough one.
Well, Ray Guarino asked us, do you think rotating wingers is negatively affecting Charlie Coyle? 4 points in 15 games. We addressed that a little bit. We kind of addressed it, but I mean, I think it could be affecting him negatively, but I feel almost like he's in his head more than that.
I believe so, too. The revolving door of wingers that he's been dealing with on the third line and moving up to the second line and working with new wingers, it's going to be a challenge, and hopefully he's up for it. You know, there's always time and space to better yourself, and I think Charlie's got it. I think he's got the determination, but I honestly think that he needs to just relax a little bit and not over try. I know that's so hard to like comprehend right now for the listeners and viewers on YouTube, but sometimes you just need to, you know, not try so hard to have everything come together because you're trying too hard. I don't know.
Well, that's the hashtag AskBNGs for this week. Thank you for those who sent in. Always please send them in. I was going to say before we go over to This Week in Bruins History, if you have it, I just want to remind everyone.
I actually do. Yes, we were supposed to record yesterday, but I hit the Pink Whitney a little too hard on Friday night, and I was basically sick all day yesterday because I didn't eat, and I need to remember to get something in my belly before drinking the pink goodness. But yesterday was Phil Esposito's birthday. Was it 69th?
Yeah.
Okay, so his 69th birthday, but on his birthday in 1974, on his 32nd birthday, Phil Esposito became the first player in NHL history to record four straight 50-goal seasons. And there's another one I have that is interesting because it was yesterday. On this day in 2019, the Bruins acquired Charlie Coyle from the Wild in exchange for Ryan Donato and a conditional fifth-round pick in 2019. So I thought that was pretty cool. So both of those come from the history guru himself, Mr. Mike Comito. Love that guy.
Awesome. Always good facts from him. Okay, well, on my end, I just want to say, remember, please rate and review the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast, wherever you're listening, what you will. Blackandgoldhockey.com for all the great content from the writers. We got the YouTube going on. Make sure you're listening to all the podcasts that can be found on the website. We're working on some kinks on, you know, making sure everything's solid, but you can always listen to them on all the platforms. Most of ours are the ones that are in conjunction with Black and Gold can be found on, you know, Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all of them, including this one and all your favorites. There's a long list growing, hopefully staying. And that's really it. Black and Gold, share it. Thank you, everyone who always shares things. Thank you for people who still listen to me, even though I don't always say things that people like, which is fine. That's what I literally have done my whole life, and people still like me. For following, sharing all the great content from blackandgoldhockey.com. I have to catch up, admittedly, on our podcast from this week. Well, not our podcast, but like from all the other great podcasts that are on the site. I'm a little behind. It's been a kind of crazy week on that. But and here's to hoping the Bruins figure out their power play and not just rely on the power play. So good luck, boys. Philadelphia, Gritty and Blaze have been hanging out, playing some snow games out there.
Yeah.
Really so, creeps me out. I just can't.
Don't forget that every Tuesday evening I get together with the Dump and Change boys, Jared and Nick, and we do our live stream talking, have a couple of drinks, and just sit there and talk about what's going on in Bruins Nation the week prior and the week ahead. So tune in for that. That is on YouTube and several areas of Facebook and Periscope/Twitter. So check that out. Patreon, please, if you're listening, please donate $1 per episode to get involved in our Patreon giveaways. That is at patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast. We give away a Bruins item once a week. Every time we record, we give away a Bruins item, but we give away a hand-signed jersey once a month, and we have a great list. I just got 3 jerseys in this week. One is Phil Esposito, hand-signed jersey. The other is a Johnny Busick hand-signed jersey. And the other one is a Rick Middleton hand-signed number 16 jersey. And we also have other jerseys that we're going to be giving away throughout the year. So I have jerseys up to September, I believe. So we're looking good, in good shape. But to keep this thing going and to keep the giveaways going, I take half of the money and put it towards B&G stuff. And then I take the other half and I roll it over to buy more prizes. So it's just $1 per episode, and you could spend up to $6. It's a very minimal cost, but we would certainly appreciate the help. And in turn, give it back to you guys, because you guys are the best financial supporters, and we really appreciate everybody. But this week's winner is so funny. Slapshot Sweethearts, Shannon Walsh. Her and Meg do a fantastic program, podcast, and they do live streams and everything on the Belly Up Sports Network. She signed up today and won. I mean, it's amazing. So congratulations to Shannon Walsh. I will be getting in contact with you as soon as possible to get you your Bruins related item. She's a Bruins fan, and Meg
Jesus,
is a
Sharon. Like, they're doing the, like, follow train for keeping up with the Bruins Flyers craziness or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks for always mentioning us in your thing. I need to be better at knowing how to do those kind of things and, like, adding in. I always heart things like that, but yeah. I will try to get more in. But so thank you. I literally, that was weird when you just said her name, because I was just reading something them. So
no, because we
love the sweethearts.
Before we started recording and I was setting up the studio here, I looked at my email and she signed up to be a Patreon. I was like, oh, that's very cool. I really appreciate that and everybody, obviously. But it was it was even stranger that I freaking put all the names up in the wheel of freaking winner, and bam, she won. So she's literally the first like ever winner we've had that signed up in one day and still won the same day. So congratulations to Shannon. I'll get you your Bruins item out there soon. She's a diehard Bruins fan from the Boston area, but I believe living down in the D.C. Metro. So with that being said, I have to get ready for a live stream of the Providence Bruins Hartford Wolfpack game. So, yeah, wow.
That'd be awesome.
But listen, I just want to thank you, Heather, for another great week. I really appreciate this. I thank everybody at BNG. We're a freaking small sports media company, but we're churning out the content on a daily basis on the website, and we're churning out podcasts on the podcast network every week. So please go to blackandgoldhockey.com and check out all the stuff we have to offer. But again, please be safe. All the listeners, we really appreciate the retweets and moving our stuff forward. If you can't donate and help us financially, your shares and retweets are really meaning a lot to us. It's just like cash when we get to reach a further audience out there. So please be safe. Let's go Bruins. Let's get this done today against the Philadelphia Flyers on Lake Tahoe, or located near Lake Tahoe. And then upcoming week against the Rangers and the Islanders in another New York trip. Let's get this done. Let's get back on track. Charlie Coyle, get some points. Jake DeBras, get consistency. We're going to roll here. But thank you very much, everybody. We will talk to you next week. Peace.
Thanks again for listening to and supporting the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please share the show with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe to and leave a 5-star rating for the show on your favorite podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Between shows, help us keep the Bruins talk going by visiting our website, blackandgoldhockey.com, by sending an email to blackandgoldhockeyblog@gmail.com, and by following the show on Twitter @blackandgoldpod.
Peace out.